From beanies to carry bags and from shoes to caps, browse our shop now at tntradio.live. This is the Freeman Report with James Freeman on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Hello and welcome to the second hour of today's Freeman Report. It is Thursday, the 28th of March, 2024. I'm your host, James Freeman. And coming up in the second hour of today's show, I'll be discussing the state of the world and the entities and forces trying to undermine all that is good in the world. My guest will be Mel Kay, who is the host of the Mel Kay Show. Mel is an enormously popular rising star in the new media world who's attracted hundreds of thousands of followers to her channel. Political strategist and commentator Thomas Corbett Dillon will also be joining me to discuss a range of issues, from the problem of illegal migrants in New York City to the fight in Ireland that is raging against the globalists. Thomas famously advised Boris Johnson, who called Thomas and his team the Digi Kids. So the first question I'm going to have for Thomas is, should we blame him then if he was an advisor to Boris Johnson for the utter mess that he left behind? Now, if you've just joined us, you must make sure you watch the first hour of the show via playback once it's uploaded. I've discussed two incredibly important topics in the first hour of the show. First up, I discussed Lawless London with Lembit Opik following yesterday's horrendous knife attack in broad daylight on a busy train in the British capital. And then second up, I had an in-depth discussion with Professor Angus Dogleish on Britain's cancer epidemic in young people. We also talked about the jabs, the WHO pandemic accord, and Angus did not mince his words. He's also written a letter to the CEO of Boots, the chemist, the high street retailer in the UK, because of its decision to start selling COVID vaccines to anybody who wants them age 12 and over, which I think is absolutely disgusting. Angus agreed, and him and other Heart members have written a letter which is published in the Conservative Woman to the CEO of Boots to say exactly that. Now, the show will be uploaded. That's the first hour of the show will be uploaded in the next few hours. So just head over to tntradio.live and click on the episodes button. And there you'll be able to listen back and watch back all of my previous shows. Right, so coming up in a moment, I'll be speaking with two guests who currently live in New York. So I guess it makes sense to start there by discussing what is going on with all of the illegals arriving after crossing the border and being bused to so-called sanctuary cities in the US, which, ironically, are mostly in Democrat-controlled states. In terms of New York, roughly 180,000 migrants have arrived in the city since 2022, overwhelming the city's resources as officials have struggled to find housing for all of them. Very similar situation to the UK, actually, where they're putting them up in hotels. Officials in the city have also begun giving out prepaid debit cards to migrant families. The first batch of these cards, which are meant to be used by illegals to purchase food and baby supplies, were handed out on Monday to a handful of migrant families. Now, the effort is part of a reported £53 million pilot programme to hand out prepaid credit cards to migrant families currently, as I said, living in hotels. The prepaid cards may only be used for grocery stores and supermarkets and convenience stores, and migrants are being asked to sign affidavits stating that they will only spend the funds on food and baby supplies, or else they will lose access to the funds. So that scheme is $53 million. New York City officials have projected that the city will spend at least $10.6 billion on migrants by the summer of 2025. So it's costing New Yorkers a lot of money. And what are they getting in return? Well, there have been several well-publicized acts of violence by migrants in New York over the past year, including a brawl between migrants and police officers in New York's Times Square in January of this year. Surveillance footage from outside the Manhattan homeless shelter shows several men kicking officers on a sidewalk and trying to pry them off a man that the police had tried to arrest. Police Commissioner Edward Caban said in a news conference in February that a wave of migrant crime has washed over New York City when talking about a Venezuelan man, getting my tongue in a twist there, who was being sought for a series of mobile phone robberies. Caban referred to the suspect's accomplices as ghost criminals, claiming that they come to New York undocumented with no history, no photos, and no social media. Very, very similar things that are happening to the in the English Channel here. But of course, these people are actually coming across a border. And the Biden administration is letting it happen. So what is going on? Is the problem visible on the streets to New Yorkers? And what are people saying about the fact that they're being asked to pay up to house and feed all of these people? And what about the crime and violence involving migrants? I'm keen to hear the personal experiences of my next two guests before I move on to other topics, such as the global criminal cabal behind much of what is going on around the world. Now, if you want to get in touch, then please email me at jamesfreeman@tntradio.live. And if you don't follow me, James Freeman or TNT on your favorite social media platform, what are you doing? Get over there now, give us a follow, and give us a comment on one of our posts. My name is James Freeman, and this is the Freeman Report for today's News Talk, TNT.
Keeping the commitment 24/7.
I've been in the car all day, and I got to listen.
Can't get enough of it.
You guys are doing a great job.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yeah, it seems to be going on everywhere, Basil, doesn't it? This kind of problem with migrants suddenly coming across borders. We've got it in the UK. It's going on in Europe. It's also going on in the US. Pretty crazy stuff, isn't it? And it's a big coincidence. Is it? Well, I guess that's my question. Is it a coincidence?
Hello again, James. Migration is an issue that will stay with us for the rest of our lifetimes. It's as simple as that, because the populations of South America and sub-Saharan Africa South India, India, Bangladesh and Pakistan, are continuing to expand at an exponential rate. We also have the myriad problems caused by the illegal wars in the Middle East, driving people out of Syria, Iraq and Afghanistan. So migratory pressures into the wealthy lands of Western Europe and North America, to a lesser extent Australia, is set to continue forever unless drastic action is taken, both to improve living standards in the developing world and then also to impose some borders. The numbers involved in North America, of course, are off the charts compared to the United Kingdom or Europe. 1,000 African migrants arrived in Lampedusa this week, the tiny Italian island nearest to the north coast of Africa. But I mean, 1,000 cross the border into the United States every 10 minutes. You know, they're talking about millions of people, tens of millions of people even, who've crossed and continue to cross. And of course, the crossing and sailing season in the Northern Hemisphere is about to get underway. You know, the weather improves at this time of year, the seas calm down, and that means the channel becomes a mill pond, and across they come, likewise the Mediterranean.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we'll obviously we'll go to the headlines in a second, Basil. But my view is, look, you know, the reason birth rates are declining in the UK in particular and across other countries is because of the policies of our government. You know, they've made it very, very difficult to have children through various different policies. Both parents need to work these days. The cost of childcare is really, really expensive. And this doesn't need to be the case. You know, if you look at Sweden, Norway, Denmark, for example, they have fantastic childcare options there for parents. And, you know, what happens to all these productivity gains that we've got over the years? You know, why is it we've gone from a situation in the West where you could just have one person as the main breadwinner to now people are actually struggling with two? It doesn't make any sense. I think it's being done on purpose. But anyway, that's a whole discussion for another day, Basil. What news headlines have you got for us?
Yeah. Well, you know, although not usually a political matter, and when I first saw it, I thought there's no political angle to this story. The Baltimore Bridge collapse as a result of the collision with the ship has turned into a political hot potato, with the young black mayor of Baltimore, Brandon Scott, slamming the rhetoric swirling online that on the one hand blames diversity and inclusion efforts for the collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge, and on the other hand, some of the conspiracy theories swirling, which include that the pilot of the ship was impaired by the results of a COVID vaccine, and that possibly the ship was hijacked, not by individuals jumping on board, but in a cyber attack. Now, the speeded up footage does appear to show this ship changing course and they're aiming directly for the main stanchion support. 20 people are now reported missing, certainly lost their lives as a result. So, I mean, it's a sizable tragedy for them and their families, obviously, as well as causing major interruption to American trade routes. But this shipping company, Synergy Maritime Limited, responsible for operating the boat, well, this same boat collided with the concrete pier in Antwerp a few years ago. These things are not supposed to happen, you know, rather like aircraft, you know, maritime safety is taken very, very seriously. And the claim is that Synergy Maritime are more interested in diversity hires than they are maritime safety.
Yeah, I mean, I did question that because the boat definitely does take a turn and it changes course just before it hits the bridge, which is a bit odd because, of course, they said, you know, it was the engines that that failed is the reason the boat hit the bridge. There is also more shenanigans online as well. I saw a video yesterday. It was actually a Sky News report, and it showed the boat and the bridge collapsed on top of it. And there were two ducks flying across the screen. And then very, very weirdly, they disappear into the sky. They just disappear. They're literally flying across the screen and then they disappear into nothing. Very, very, I don't know what to make of that, Basil. This is video footage that went out on Sky that somebody had actually, you know, filmed their TV. So it wasn't a case of somebody, you know, doctoring it and then putting it out. But I think the point I'm trying to make is there are a lot of conspiracies going on around this, conspiracy theories. And of course, you know, this is going to hit certain sectors in the US, like the farming sector, because an awful lot of, you know, big machinery used on farms was being delivered via that route. I don't know how long it's going to take to get them up and running again. Is there any news on that, when ships can start, you know, going back through that stretch of the river again?
No, not yet. Still very early days. The bridge was apparently in a fair condition, according to a May 2023 inspection report from the National Bridge Inventory. But it does highlight the lack of investment in critical infrastructure in the United States, which, having visited there relatively recently, is startling, frankly. I was first visited the United States in the early 1980s and was tremendously impressed by the scale and size and solidity of everything. And that's no longer the case. I mean, it's been so completely overtaken by China in terms of building, you know, high-speed rail infrastructure and all the rest of it. You know, the US is absolutely crumbling. The controversy at the moment surrounds a little known politician, to be fair, from the great state of Idaho, somebody called Phil Lyman, who's been attacking Carinthia Barber, the Maryland Port Commissioner and first woman to hold that role, saying that she knows nothing about her work and is more focused on DEI policies. This is what happens when you have governors who prioritize diversity over the well-being and security of citizens. He, of course, has been roundly attacked for that. But it is true that although well-qualified academically, Barber doesn't actually have any experience of managing ports, which is, you know, a fairly specialized subject, you know. And we've also seen the possibility of diversity hires creeping into airlines, pilots. Wouldn't matter if it was just the cabin staff, but pilots, where surely we have to have the best candidates flying the planes, and even, believe it or not, in medical schools as well, where once again one would hope that the best qualified candidates become doctors rather than people, you know, selected on the basis of their ethnicity or some other characteristic completely irrelevant to your ability to carry out the job in hand.
Yeah, absolutely bonkers, isn't it? I know who I'd prefer to have flying a plane, and that is the best person for the job. I don't give a monkey's what colour they are, whether they've got red hair, blue hair, black, white, wherever they're from, as long as they fly that plane safely. That's my main concern.
Absolutely, and the same applies, obviously, to these, you know, to ships and bridges and all the rest of it. Biden, of course, has managed to turn the whole thing into an own goal, a gaffe, claiming to remember many occasions he crossed the bridge on a train, but no trains go across that bridge, and they never have done.
Brilliant. Another gaffe by our gaffe-prone US president. Basil, thank you once again. Our political editor, Basil Valentine, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Right. Okay. We're going to take a short break now. And when we come back, I'm going to have the host of the Mel Kay Show. Mel herself is going to be on the Freeman Report with me. I'm going to start off by asking her what the hell is going on in New York, where officials have said by 2025, the summer of 2025, they're planning to spend $10.6 billion on housing and feeding illegal migrants who are crossing the border. Absolutely astonishing. So I'll be asking Mal for her opinion. And as a New York resident herself, you know, is this visible on the streets now? Is New York itself changing as a city? So don't go anywhere. Stay with me right here on TNT.
TNT's Mark Morano.
And there's a whole history of this idea that the establishment, the powers that be, the regime in power, likes the idea of a little eco-terrorism to keep the population hungry. I mean, if you think about it, their policies, government policies of the Great Reset, Net Zero, Climate Agenda, are quite literally eco-terrorism or a form of terrorism. It's, as Jesse Jackson used to say, it's economic violence, it's economic terrorism. Jesse Jackson used to say that about the Reagan administration. But in this case, it's the intentional collapse of energy, food, transportation, free speech, all to achieve and make us safer and give them more power under the auspices, if you will, of a crisis.
Mark Morano on today's News Talk, TNT.
In a democracy, the majority vote rules. But in most democracies, you can only vote for change every 3 or 4 years. To understand what people want, governments and political parties use focus groups. These focus groups can include as little as 20 people. Australia is a country of over 25 million people. Does making decisions based on 20 people sound fair to you? Have your say. Be heard in between elections. Download the For My Say app now. That is number 4, My Say.
Internet.
A stream online.
TNTRadio.live. Today's News Talk Radio. TNT.
Right, well, I'm delighted to welcome my next guest. I've been told she is a rising star. She's got her own show as well. She is Mel Kay. Hello, Mel. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, listen, thank you for coming on the Freeman Report. Obviously, this is your first time on the show. Maybe I'll have to come on your show at some point in the future.
Absolutely.
Now, Mel, let's start with New York, because I believe that's where you live. I think you live in Manhattan. I'm intrigued to hear from you as a resident of New York, what you think of all of these migrants which are being bused there from the border, most of them that are coming across the border illegally. As a resident, you know, is it visible what is going on? And what do you think as a resident of New York about the fact that you're being asked to pay for all of this?
Well, it's absolutely going on. It is in your face. It is not. They just started yesterday a program where they're giving out debit cards for, you know, thousands of dollars to people as we see our city turning into a very unsafe, violent, I believe, fully surveilled city. I believe that this started a long time ago, but certainly in the beginning of our 2 weeks to stop the spread, we were locked in New York. It was probably one of the worst in America, besides the California cities, of course. And we had Cuomo come on the stage and announce that with Bill Gates and Eric Schmidt announced that they were reimagining New York. And reimagining to me now means, oh no, they are turning us over into this digitalized track and trace surveillance, fully monitored system. And then at the same time, we had defund the police. We had the no bail, no jail. And then before you knew it, busloads of people were being dropped off, flown in. And now it's at the point where, you know, even the people that at one time were not affected, everyone right now is, you don't want to go outside with, you know, your pocketbook. You don't want to go outside alone. Every area of the city is becoming infested with people. And at some point, they're going to run out of money. And then what are they going to do then? Because a lot of also the money in New York is going towards the persecution of Donald Trump rather than the prosecution of actual criminals. So, I mean, it's a perfect story. Storm in New York City, and you know, every city in America right now is seriously hurting, and that is because we have a government that I believe is complicit in what I consider to be the controlled demolition of America.
Yeah, and it's big money we're talking about, isn't it? I think authorities are saying in New York that by the summer of 2025, they're expecting it's going to cost $10.6 billion, which is, you know, that's not small change. That's a lot of money. You know, and I think a lot of this stems from the fact that New York, like a lot of other democratic run or cities in democratic run states, is a sanctuary city. Tell us what a sanctuary city is and who introduced that, who actually made that a thing in America.
Well, sanctuary cities are basically places where ICE and deportation and challenging people's status or citizenship is not allowed at all, really. I mean, and we already had a problem with the defund the police and everything that happened after that. So really, the police can't really do much in New York. They have their hands tied. And on top of that, we have now many hotels in New York City got, I don't know, that some of that billions of dollars is being paid for, but they are everywhere within Midtown, in the Bronx, Queens. You know, there's nowhere you can go that it's not, you know, totally packed. And at the same time, a lot of the social services, a lot of people have been mentioning the Cloward-Piven strategy of destroying the social fabric by bankrupting the social services. We have vets and mentally, well, you already had a homeless problem in New York, but now the homeless citizens are being pushed aside, kicked out of shelters, and these people are getting preferential treatment. And basically, that's what the sanctuary cities have turned into, actual sanctuaries for those that are here illegal. And, you know, basically track and trace surveillance, very unsafe digital prisons for everyone else. And there are also gangs in New York. So a friend of mine just recently up in, on the Upper East Side got mugged by a person on a bike. And next thing you know it, the cops are saying to her, I'm sorry, they're part of a Venezuelan gang. And then we had a resurgence of different groups that have been all over, and were under Donald Trump, a lot of these people were deported, but they're now all back and they move in packs, and it's just very dangerous. And I believe on purpose. I really do believe that America is under attack from within, and we have lost the ability to run our country by the people, for the people. Was supposed to be New York, and at this point the people don't matter at all.
Yeah, and we'll talk. We're going to go to news headlines in just a few minutes, and we'll talk about what's behind this, because I've got my ideas, global entities and all of that. We'll talk about that after the break. But before that, what do New Yorkers think of this? Because, of course, New York is a Democratic run city. It is in the Democratic state. These are Democratic, and the majority of them are Democratic voters. But I think it's become clear, hasn't it, over the last few months, that this is being fueled by policies from the Biden administration. So what do New Yorkers actually think of this? Do you think that they're going to change their voting patterns because of it?
Well, the one thing that is going on in New York as we speak is they are trying to allow illegals to vote. So that is passing through. We also have a lot of the Democratic leaders in New York City, at least, are Democratic Socialists of America, not Democrats as we knew from back in the day, even from Bill Clinton. This is a whole new breed. And what they're doing also is they're, I believe, organizing for a something later in the summer. I know that there have been people going around from NGOs basically telling all of the illegals, asking them if they're unhappy, if they're getting what they need. And there's this hashtag demand citizenship going around. And I believe that they're organizing an uprising similar to Black Lives Matter upcoming. The Biden administration has now told us that we're not allowed to say illegals, that these are undocumented citizens. And if you follow the paperwork and what's going on, undocumented citizens, very soon they're going to say all citizens deserve, the human rights. And from that point on, it's game over unless the people of New York actually do change. And, it's hard because in also New York, we have a huge amount of the Wall Street people and other people that are honestly, the globalist institutions are based in New York and America. This is a big effort. And I believe that New York City is also kind of a prize for the globalists. If they can collapse New York, as they are doing really fast, then they feel probably that they can collapse the whole country. And we are watching a very, very sad thing. And then it's very demoralizing. Some of these cases against Donald Trump have implications way beyond Donald Trump, especially for small business and business in general. And I will tell you, New York did not recover after COVID. And really, a lot of the middle class New Yorkers can't survive. A lot of the very wealthy New Yorkers have left. And I don't even know what tax base they're getting money from at this point. So it's a lot of unrest. And I really do hope people change their voting patterns. But again, I believe that there's a lot of corruption in the election system. And there is a whole contingency of actual socialists that are running New York and are happy with what is happening, as far as I can see.
Now, Mal, very, very quickly before we go to the break, are you mad living there then? Have you thought about going to another state yourself? Because, of course, we've seen lots and lots of people leaving California and other Democratic run states to go to Florida, to go to Texas and other red states. Have you thought about that yourself? Yep.
Oh, yeah, we are in Florida a lot more than we are in New York. And Florida is where actually our families are, our parents are. Everyone we basically know has left, gone to Florida or Texas or Tennessee. And I do not, like I said, I don't know how they keep this up, because the tax base is leaving. And basically, they also, during COVID, tried to get as many people as possible on the dole of the government. Plus, the government in New York employs the most federal and government workers of any city in the country. So you think about that, all those people that are living off the government are stuck, and all the people that can get out are, and it's expensive to leave New York and to go elsewhere because of the housing shortage in America and the cost. So I just really think that it's at a breaking point and a tipping point, and the people really need to start getting it together and peacefully protest and not comply and push back in a way that makes a big difference. But again, January 6th stops stopped a lot of people, put them on hold in terms of what at this point would have been protesting and people gathering and organizing. And I feel like January 6th did the job of making people too scared to stand up and fight back.
Yeah, and it is difficult. I'm hearing the same thing as exactly what you've just said. The places where people want to go and live, actually house prices have surged there because there are so many people trying to escape Democratic-run states. Mal, we're going to go to the news headlines. Don't go anywhere. I've got loads more questions for you. So we'll be right back in a second, right here on TNT.
Real news. Don't get it confused. TNT Radio News.
Matt Boyland here with a look at your TNT headlines. Anger is mounting in Australia after the federal government rammed digital ID legislation through Parliament without a debate. Russian President Vladimir Putin has once again shot down fear-mongering claims in the West that Moscow's gearing up for a wider war in Europe. And tensions are rising between Paris and Washington, with the White House reportedly worried that French President Emmanuel Macron could soon trigger a clash with Russia.
Why not give TNT Radio a follow? We're on all major social platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Gab, and Getter. Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time right here on today's News Talk. TNT Radio. TNT Radio.
Right now, Mal, I mean, you'll know just as well as me that this problem with immigration isn't just affecting New York. It's affecting lots of places across the US, but not even just in the US. We've got our own problem, very, very similar here in the UK, where we've got thousands upon thousands, tens of thousands of migrants being put up in hotels. They're continuing to come across the English Channel. It's the same in Europe. And there are other countries with their own problem, Canada as well. What do you think is driving this? Because it's not a coincidence, is it?
No, I frankly believe that all of us are being deceived, especially the Five Eyes nations and the NATO nations and the EU, into something called Agenda 2030 and these 17 sustainable development goals that are really, they are sustainable for the ruling elite, what I call the parent company of planet Earth. And each of our countries has that. We have a public-private partnership that is sitting above our governments, running everything as they can. They are in cahoots, in my opinion, with what I call the fifth column, which are these lawfare type people that keep changing and manipulating language and the laws of the land so that, you know, what's normal, the constitutional rights, the Bill of Rights is all being manipulated by very strategic multinational globalist aligned lawyers. There's also a fifth column, I call it the fourth branch of the U.S. government that is should not exist. You know, after the Patriot Act got passed, which is the most unconstitutional, dangerous thing that happened to my country, basically, this intelligence branch was born that is a fourth unconstitutional branch and seems to be controlling all the rest of them. And this is, there's no holds barred there. They can call you a domestic terrorist from anything you write online. They have put in several different new groups. They're all working together. That would be DHS, TSA, DNI. And what's scary is the NSA also, Edward Snowden had years ago told us that they were spying on everyone, but it turns out that the NSA in America has a deal with your country and the Five Eyes nation, similar NSA, FBI, CIA, that they share information. So at this point, everyone that they feel, I guess they call it anti-government, anti-authority, really just people that love freedom and privacy and liberty, are an issue. And so if our government can't spy on us, which they don't care really at this point, then they'll get your government to spy on us, or vice versa. If they can't spy on you guys, then they'll get somebody from our intelligence community. So they're walking us into that global digital ID, full track and trace surveillance right out of Agenda 2030, where we're all in a blockchain, controlled money, CBDC, controlled, yeah. You know, can we travel, controlled climate trace, you know, put the World Health Organization, all of us being on this blockchain, and it's coming right out of Agenda 2030. And I know most people in America don't understand that Obama signed on to it in 2015, but in 2023, September, O'Biden went in and said, double down, and said that they will be achieving Agenda 2030. And that they will go towards that. And almost every executive order, if you really do understand what they're saying, every executive order that he's put in has to be walked towards that, this biometric data, this track and trace surveillance, everything that we do online. But now it's everything we do in general. So all of us right now are on the same. It's either you're for freedom, liberty, privacy, and auto-determination, or you're not. And that's where we are. There are no left and right. There's no Republican, Democrat. It is the people that believe in freedom that must join together in all of our nations and stand up. There are way more of us, and we have to get together and stand.
Yeah. And listen, Mel, you're singing the same tune as we sing on TNT. Everything you've said, I agree with, and I know TNT as a station agrees with. What you've described there, I guess, is the vehicle that they're using to actually do all this. But why do you think? I think the thing which is unclear to me, I've got hypotheses, but why is this happening now? We've had, 70, 80 years of relative peace. Obviously, we're learning now that things haven't been the way we thought they were for a very long time. But we, in the general, we've been free. We've been allowed to get on with our lives and do what we want. Why do you think this is happening right now?
Because I think that we are living in a post-nation state world in the minds of the public-private partnership. A lot of people look at the World Economic Forum, which is one and the same as the UN. People have to stop, have to go back and look at the documents, look at even Kofi Annan back in the day talking about the relationship, the origins of the World Economic Forum, and that they're one tentacle of this bigger public-private partnership that goes all the way up to the international banking cartel to the top, this opaque Bank of International Settlements that nobody can actually say what's going on there. But, they're in bed with the IMF, the World Bank, controlling and paying for a lot of this. We're paying for, I believe that this group of people, they're supranational for the entire world. It's very hard. During Nazi Germany, you could point at Germany. Right now, the people that threaten our security, our safety, our freedom, they are actually a multinational corporation, public-private partnership with NGOs and tentacles of the UN and the banking cartel, kind of at a place where they were losing power. They knew that they were going to lose power. Their international banking manipulations were failing, being exposed. A lot of the endless wars, people are realizing that they were for nothing other than to enrich this group of people. They meet at Bilderberg. They meet at the COP conferences. They meet in Davos. And now we see them because of shows like yours and mine and TNT and millions of other people out there that they couldn't control. We are breaking their narrative. The Great Reset followed the Great Narrative, and the Great Narrative is falling apart. So shut us up, censor us, call us misinformation, anti-government and anti-authority. No, we're anti them. This global public-private partnership needs to be identified and broken up, and they have people and tentacles in all of our countries above our government, and then they have their intelligence agencies that are manipulating not just us. I think that they're also manipulating everyone that has a selected position in our government. So, when Larry Fink makes a speech 6 months before COVID talking about going direct, people should go listen to what he's saying. What he's saying is that the corporations and the banks must step in, circumvent our government, skip the Constitution and Bill of Rights, and control us because they want control of all of the natural resources. They want to change to the CBDC because they know that their jig is up with their fiat currency and their printing money, and they will do anything that they can to keep power. And they're losing power, but that makes them incredibly dangerous.
Yeah. Bang on the money. I think that is kind of what I think. I think that, with the advent of the internet, the fact that people now, they can look into the dark corners and shine lights there, which were kind of hidden in the past. We've also got technologies coming through now, like cryptocurrencies, which threaten their whole system. We don't need middlemen anymore to do transactions. We don't need middlemen for insurance. We've got smart contracts. And I think, all of this is coming along and it threatens their dominance, their position over us, which they've had for maybe even centuries and centuries, yeah. These dynasties, these families that have been controlling us. Mel, Kate, we have run out of time, sadly, but listen, I think you're brilliant. I'd love to get you back on the show at some point. So please do come back on.
Anytime. And everyone can check me out at themelkshow.com and Rumble every single night. We'll have you on soon and we'll continue the conversation. Thank you so much, sir.
Fantastic. We will continue the conversation. Mel Kay, everybody, thank you. Right. Okay. We're going to take a short break now. And when we come back, I am going to have Thomas Corbett Dillon. He's a political strategist and commentator. And he famously was an advisor at one point for Boris Johnson. So my first question is going to be, is it all your fault, Thomas, the mess that has been left behind Boris Johnson? So don't go anywhere. Stick with us right here on TNT.
As a combat wounded veteran, I know how hard it is to come home and build a meaningful life. When I was in Iraq, our vehicle was hit. A rocket-propelled grenade exploded right under my seat. Traumatic brain injury, a fractured pelvis, severe burns. They didn't think I was gonna make it. I had to learn to walk again and live with the scars, both visible and invisible.
DAV helps veterans like LaToya get the benefits they've earned. They help more than a million veterans every year in life-changing ways.
With DAV on my side, I was able to pursue my dreams. If my story can touch a heart, it can change a life. My victory is overcoming my wounds so I can help other veterans.
LaToya Lucas, may your victories inspire many more. Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
She was reading at a second grade level in kindergarten.
Pod 4 swimming before she was 7.
Finally convinced mom to get her ears pierced in the 3rd grade.
Came in 2nd at her 5th grade spelling bee.
Drill team in the 7th.
And with one stroke of the keyboard.
One click of the mouse.
It's gone.
It's gone.
It's gone.
Report a cyber tip today.
This is the Freeman Report with your host, James Freeman, on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Thomas Corbett Dillon, you famously once advised Boris Johnson. Should we be blaming you, therefore, for the mess that he's left behind?
I can't take too much of the blame. I was only on the election side and we were just making the videos. So, you know, nothing. I wasn't at the parties. I didn't get the invite. I'm very sad about that.
Yeah, of course, obviously, I'm only joking. But Thomas, obviously, you did advise Boris Johnson at one point. What was that like? What period did you advise him over? And was it as chaotic as we're led to believe?
Yeah, so I founded a company, a social media company that were employed by Boris to produce all of the videos and things for him during the election campaign. So actually, the time when we were around him was really exciting. Of course, it was after Theresa May had stepped down or was in the process of stepping down. There was the race to get there. And we were all really excited. You know, he had a lot of potential. We were excited. It was all about delivering Brexit. It was all about, you know, the future of the country. Of course, this is all pre-COVID. Everything seemed to crumble around that the COVID time and then ended in a bit of a disappointment, actually. So when I was there, it was exciting and then it sort of went downhill.
Yeah. And of course, you know, there was that famous video, wasn't there, of Boris breaking through that wall, which was all about getting Brexit done. But yeah, like you said, it's been pretty disappointing what's happened. Well, I think that's putting it mildly. Now, Thomas, you're a resident of New York. I know you're in Washington, D.C. at the moment, but you live in New York. What do you make of what's going on with the migrant, the illegal migrant crisis at the moment? Is it visible on the streets? And what do New Yorkers make of what is going on?
Well, I think it's a glimpse into the future of London, if you want to see what is going in New York City now. It's a hellhole. There's only one way to describe it. It is really dangerous. I don't know if you've seen recently, there's been a spate of women just getting punched on the street randomly. And to your question, yes, you do see it. There are hordes of men from South America on street corners and things. It's great if you've got any projects you need to go and hire someone for. They're willing to work, which is nice. But of course, the problem is that they're being, funneled into areas that it's not great. So, for example, Uber Eats is a good example where one guy gets, you know, does all the background check and everything. And then he sort of, you know, passes it on to other people. So the guy that's delivering your food is not who it's supposed to be. Same with Uber drivers and things. So, yeah, I think it's a glimpse into the future of London. It seems to be the direction we're heading in.
I don't know about the future of London. I don't know whether you saw there was a knife attack yesterday, which we're seeing, you know, thousands or tens of thousands of these every year in the capital. But it's absolutely horrific. Somebody being attacked on a train in broad daylight with the general public on the train. And it's a really, really serious attack. So I think it's not the future of London. We've already actually got it here, Thomas. Now, all of this is costing New Yorkers a lot of money. I think there's a scheme this week which has been rolled out. I think it's going to cost $53 million for prepaid credit cards, which are going to be handed out to the migrants. But what officials have said is that by the summer of 2025, it's going to cost New York $10.6 billion, all of this. What do New Yorkers think about this? Obviously, it's a Democratic city. Do you think this is going to change the way people vote?
Yeah, it is changing the way people vote. The primary, the New York primary is coming up this week, I believe, maybe tomorrow. And Donald Trump is having, you know, probably the highest support he's ever had in this city. But your point is very interesting because, of course, comparing the UK and the US, people in the UK are upset because of the migrant crisis and things like that. You know, they get free houses and things. But in the UK, yeah, if you fall on hard times, you also get a free house and you get unemployment benefits and things. Now, we have to remember, in the United States, there is nothing. If you are a citizen of this country, you lose your job, you lose your home, you're on the street. There is no safety net. So why people are getting really upset is that these foreigners are coming in and they're getting better benefits than American citizens. American citizens get nothing. There's no free healthcare. There's nothing like that. So as much as the English people are upset that they're, you know, being given free houses and things, at least it's also on offer to English people. But Americans get no such thing. So yes, Americans are getting very upset with this. It's an unfair system. And they often joke with me, of course, I came here legally and got my green card. I should have just swam the river. I'd have got a credit card, a hotel room. I'd be in a much better situation.
Yeah, and that's exactly what people are saying in the UK. You know, if you can't get into the UK by the legal route, then just, you know, come across the channel in a small boat. It's probably save you money. And then you'll get lots of benefits from the government. Now, I'm going to move on for this because I have spoken about this with my previous guest, Mel Kay. So let's move on to the election this year, because this is a big year, not just for America, for the world. In fact, we've got our own general election here in the UK. Thomas, I wonder if you wouldn't mind starting by giving us your assessment of where you think we are in terms of that election this year.
Well, I mean, there's almost two certainties you can predict, and that is a massive Trump victory and a massive Conservative loss. So, you know, if you look at the two countries side by side, it's so disappointing. I feel for my country. I'm like, why is America moving towards the right where it needs to be and becoming more conservative and putting America first? And England is you know, going to elect a left-wing government, which it's almost the only country in Europe that is moving that way. And I think it's mainly because there aren't more left-wing voters. The conservative voters are sick of nothing being delivered on. So, you know, they're probably going to stay home. They're not going to vote. But yeah, we are in the US. We are very much looking like it's going to be a massive Trump victory. He is polling 5 points ahead of Biden. Today, the poll just came out, which that never even happened in 2016 when he won. He never polled higher than Hillary in anything. If, you know, he was at like 10% the whole time. She was at 90%. So the fact that he's polling higher just shows you that people are preparing and bracing themselves for the next Trump administration.
Now, I'm going to ask you the same question I ask everybody who I get in from the US. I'm not convinced that Biden will be the Democratic nominee, or the candidate, rather, after August, when we've got that Democratic National Convention. I just can't see it. He's 81. We're talking about another 4 years. It's clear that he can't do the job already. But what are your thoughts, Thomas? Do you think that he will, the Democrats will stick with Biden?
Yeah, I think they will now. I agreed with you for quite a while. I thought they were going to swap him out. But what is becoming very clear is not only is it going to be very hard to get rid of him, and obviously Kamala is in the way, it's also becoming very clear that no one in the Democratic Party wants to go up against Trump. You know, if you are Gavin Newsom in California, if you are many of the other people that, you know, wanted to throw their hat in, none of them want to face off to Trump because he's almost unbeatable. So a lot of them now, the ones that were potentially going to be stand-ins, are actually saying, I'm going to hold off. I'm going to wait until, you know, Trump maybe does another 4 years and then I'll put my hat in. We saw it with all of the Republican candidates jumping in, DeSantis, Nikki Haley. He destroys them. He is not someone that you want to go up against in an election. It will ruin your career. I mean, look at 2016. Some of the greatest minds of the Conservative Party or the Republican Party, from Ted Cruz to Marco Rubio, all of these people, they got destroyed. Jeb Bush, you know, their career's kind of almost over. So no one wants to take on Trump. So I think that Biden is going to be their fall guy. And it also means they can blame the victory on Biden being old and weak, as opposed to it being Democratic policies that are the reason why they lost.
Yeah, it's a very, very good point, actually. I think that's the best analysis I've seen arguing the fact that Biden will be on the ticket. So essentially what we're saying is, I think the Democrats, maybe they're going to accept, or maybe they've accepted, that they're going to lose this election. And I guess my next question then is, what do you think Trump, let's assume that he gets in, what do you think are going to be the first set of things that he will do?
Well, I mean, the rumors are out there. It could be anything. I mean, he already went out and said he's going to be a dictator for a day. You know, talking from to a lot of the people that are involved in the campaign and the future administration, I mean, they almost have a shadow administration set up ready to go, which, of course, never happened in 2016. It was a complete surprise, even to the campaign. Even on election night, they thought they'd lost. So it was a bit of a scramble to find the right people. There's no such scramble this time. There are people lined up for all of the positions from, you know, the top to the bottom. Because, of course, with the presidency, there are so many positions that you need to fill. And for a lot of Trump's presidency, many of those positions weren't actually filled, or they were just filled with sort of random fill-in people that didn't really have a vision for the departments. So we think it's going to be sweeping changes, very, very drastic changes. And if there's one thing that you know about this president, is that he is angry. He is ready to fight back, because the way that the establishment in this country have treated him is outrageous. So, you know, he's ready to push back. I think it's going to be, you know, the media like to say a bloodbath. I don't know if it'll be that dramatic, but I think if you're one of these lawyers or judges that have been going after him completely unfairly, I think you may be in trouble.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear your words there that he will be prepared this time, because he's only got one term to do whatever he wants to do. And clearly the Democrats last time around, it was the whole Russiagate thing, wasn't it? Literally from day one. Obviously, you know, there was talk of all sorts of It's funny, isn't it? The Democrats, every time a Republican gets in, they always talk about, you know, voter fraud and all of this. And then, of course, they... when Biden gets in, it's like, no, there was no fraud. I mean, what do you think the Democrats are going to do when he gets in?
Well, half of them, the media side of them, are excited for this. You know, it was their best ratings. The 4 years of Trump presidency was the best rating CNN had ever had. So, you know, on one hand, they're kind of happy with it. And also, of course, a lot of them are secretly extremely wealthy. And Trump is good for the rich in this country. A lot of them are secretly probably not too upset that he's coming back in. I think they've seen that it's time to shift. And that's why you've seen a lot of people now getting on board with the Trump stuff and embracing the fact that the majority of this country is overwhelmingly working class and, you know, leans to the right. And it is just these large cities that have the sway of this extreme left-wing pool. But if you are, you know, a guy in Hollywood, you know, an actor, or, you know, some of these liberal elites, they're living in terrible places. You know, the grocery stores or everything's locked up in cages and things. But yes, you're right. Trump is much more prepared. I mean, even to the fact now that his daughter-in-law, Lara Trump, is now the head of the RNC, the Republican National Committee. You know, they are really installing and has already started to make sweeping changes there, which is fantastic, because, of course, the entire place was what they say here, rhinos, Republican in name only. They did not like Trump. They did everything they could to stop Trump. So I think what you're going to see now is it's becoming the MAGA party, which I think is great. And I just sit here and I wish that we had something even similar in the UK. But we don't. We have the Conservative Party that are just...
Well, we might get that. We might get that. I think if we see the Conservatives implode, there's definitely going to be a realignment of the right. We've even heard talk, Thomas, of Nigel Farage becoming the leader of the Conservative Party. And that's been talked about quite a bit. So who knows? We might get that.
I'd be surprised if they let that happen.
Now, I think one of the big challenges for Trump, isn't it? He's got this one term. He's going to come in. And for him, his message has always been America first, hasn't it? Which is obviously all about domestic issues, sorting out the horrendous issues that are going to be left behind from the Biden administration. But the problem is, he can't focus entirely on domestic issues, can he? Because we've got all of the problems in the Middle East. We've got the problems with China, and we've got this proxy war with Russia between US and Russia. How much of a challenge do you think that's going to be for Trump? And what do you think his primary focus will be?
Well, I mean, as he said, he's going to, you know, it'll all end on day one, which, you know, I think is probably going to be the case. The fact that this Ukraine war is still ongoing when they have absolutely no chance of winning, they have no men left, they have, you know, no soldiers, they're sending women and disabled people out to fight now. It's terrible. And it is so terrible for Europe that, you know, so many great men on both sides have just been sent to war, in a pointless war, to, you know, backed by these organizations and things. I think it's outrageous. And as Trump has said, he just wants the killing to stop. The people have to stop dying. So I think you're going to see that end on day one. I think the Israeli crisis will also end very, very quickly. Because what you need from an American president is a strong man who has his own opinions. And unfortunately, Biden, we don't know what he thinks. What we know is what his advisors think and what the people around him think. And they tend to be, you know, neocons that are very much willing to get into wars. We saw, of course, the Obama wars, the Bush wars, all of these wars. Trump is the only person that never started a new war. And of course, then Biden has had to make up for all those missed times and has launched you know, an unbelievable amount of wars, if you can claim they are American wars. So I think the world will be a better place. But what we are concerned about is that the Biden administration and the, you know, the military contractors and things are going to create a situation that is so difficult for Trump to unravel. Yeah. I mean, we've already seen them try to pass a Ukraine bill that will, you know, fund Ukraine for the next 5 years or so with a clause that does not allow it to be revoked, even if Trump
won. Right, I'm going to have to cut you off there, Thomas. Sorry to cut you off. We have run out of time. But listen, you've been a great guest. I hope you'll come back on the Freeman Report again sometime soon to talk about the election. Right, Thomas, Carbert, Dylan, everybody, thank you, Thomas. And don't go anywhere, because we've got more great shows coming up right here on TNT.